bow our heads in prayer. Dear gracious Father, we humbly, reverently approach thy throne of mercy tonight, knowing that there's still mercy, for as we walk in the light, as you are in that light, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. And so, Father, we come to thy word tonight, to thy throne of mercy, believing until that last one is in and child trained, that last child of yours is in and child trained, and that you've come to redeem your ransomed Father. We believe that there's still mercy. So, Lord, we commit ourselves to thy judgment, to thy mercy, and believing, Father, that your grace is sufficient. And now, Father, as we approach thy word tonight, we pray that you would help us in our understanding. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. You may be seated. Now, Sunday afternoon, I received an email from Pastor Dalton Bruce of Bethel House Tabernacle in Trinidad concerning the Church Age book and something he purports to be errors, not understanding that the book was authored by Brother Branham himself, but thinking it was authored by Brother Vail. So, Brother Dalton Bruce, if you're listening to this sermon, I'm giving you my comments to your statement in this sermon. And as you know, that I have had a very close relationship with Brother Vail, and since he has been my mentor for 30 of the 32 years which I've known him, I feel that I can perhaps help you with an insider's understanding of how the Church Age book was written. As Luke said in his gospel, "For as much as many have taken in hand to set forth in order a declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us, even as they delivered them unto us, which from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word. It seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write unto thee in order that thou mightest know the certainty of those things wherein thou hast been instructed." And believe me, brothers and sisters, there is a gross error being taught in the message today that the Church Age book is Brother Vail's book. It is not Brother Vail's book. It was written by Brother Branham. It was spoken by Brother Branham. It was edited by Brother Branham. And so we're going to cover those things tonight. Now, to answer your question that you have asked, I will leave your comments in violet to distinguish them from my own words, which I'll be using normal black, which is the print color, the normal print color. The Bible verses will be represented in red, representing the blood of Jesus Christ, and those of Brother Branham in blue, since blue represents trueness, as taught by William Branham himself. Those are the color schemes for all my sermons as well. Now, Pastor Bruce states, "Discourse on the Seven Church Age Book, Grammarized Version by Lee Vail, Errors Exposed." I'm delighted that you can represent Brother Lee Vail in doctrinal issues concerning the Seven Church Age Book, the CAB, in a friendly discourse between both of us. As you indicated in your letter dated 02-08-08, they use the 02 as the day of the month, so this would be August 2nd of 08. This subject has been long outstanding amongst message believers and ministering and ministers. One of our editors contacted Dr. Vail on the subject of the baptism of the Holy Ghost and the new birth several years ago, and his answers by telephone was vague and suggestive. He referred us to you as his representative, but we never pursued that option until this time when you sought to defend Dr. Vail by my correction to his doctrine on the seventh seal, seven thunders. We also noticed on the questions and answers on your website that Dr. Vail authorized you to answer all questions and to solicit his help if the need arises. I wish that you will contact Dr. Vail on the issues that I would raise, since he is the author of the Church Age book. Well, just to insert here, this is where they're an error to begin with, because they are calling Brother Vail the author of the Church Age book. Brother Vail is not the author of the Church Age book. Brother Vail took Brother Branham's sermons on the Church Ages, and he was commissioned by Brother Branham to write the book, to grammarize it. But he was not the author, and he was not the finisher. Because Brother Branham was actually the author of the book. It's something that Brother Branham desired to do back in 1954 when he first spoke on the Seven Church Ages. He wanted to write the book, but he knew that his grammar was not sufficient or proper for the average person to be reading. He felt very humble to approach it himself. So he asked Brother Vail to do it. And so this man continues. He says, I am addressing you and Dr. Vail to defend my reputation on the above subject, seeing that you are representing Dr. Vail's ministry by his authority. Some have rejected the book entire book as unscriptural and not the authentic teachings of the prophet, and others believe that all were documented are the teachings of the prophet. Now, my response to that is, Brother Dalton, those who would ascribe the Seven Church Age book as unscriptural and not authentic teachings of William Branham are ignorant of the facts concerning the writing of the book itself. There is even one international minister who will lie and say that Brother Branham told him to burn the book. I have heard this lie firsthand from this brother, and I know he does not tell the truth, but has set forth to try to destroy the Church Age book, even as he has tried to destroy the Branham family and Brother Branham's ministry as well, all the while making millions of dollars from selling Brother Branham's books and tapes. Now, Brother Willard Collins, the pastor of the Branham Tabernacle in Jeffersonville, Indiana, told me in 1979 that he went to Brother Branham about some concerns from some ministers, thinking that there were some of Brother Vail's own thoughts in this book, which were not Brother Branham's. Brother Branham assured Brother Collins that he would again read the Church Age book from cover to cover and to check out that claim. He said that he had read everything as it was grammarized in the book before the final publishing, but would reread it from cover to cover to make sure nothing was overlooked. He came back to Brother Collins and he told him everything in the Church Age book was correct, and thus saith the Lord. And Brother Branham also confirmed this with Brother Sidney Jackson from South Africa, the same thing, that everything in the book was thus saith the Lord. Now, if everything in the book is thus saith the Lord, then what's the question? You see, these brothers have their own thinking of how things should be, and instead of subjecting themselves and humbling themselves to the book and to the Bible, they would rather fuss with it and try to make it somebody else's book. Now, Brother Dalton Bruce states, my position as editor of EODH is that certain major doctrinal issues are inconsistent with the teachings of the prophet, unscriptural and erroneous. This is the basis of our discourse. I make myself absolutely clear that I am not challenging or correcting any error on the original Church Age's teaching of Brother Branham, but defending his revelation of the message. My discourse is solemnly based upon the errors injected into the grammarized version of the Church Age book by Dr. Lee Vail. It would be a lie for anyone to say or believe that this discourse aims at correcting the prophet's teaching. End of Pastor Bruce's statement. Now, Brother Dalton, I do not say this to be mean-spirited, but since you think that there are inconsistencies in the Church Age book, that only means that you do not understand the Church Age book, nor do you understand the doctrine itself. And since you are an outsider and do not understand how the Church Age book was written and how Brother Branham edited every word in that book, I will tell you how it was compiled so that your doubts may flee with some inside knowledge. Now, you may say that I'm being arrogant because I'm saying I have insider knowledge and you don't. However, in the scripture, if you go to Matthew chapter 13 and Mark chapter 4, you will find the disciples saying to Jesus, why do you say to them on the outside everything in parables? And Jesus said, because it is given for you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to them it's not given. So there are insiders to the messengers of each age, and there are outsiders. And it's by election. Now, Brother Dalton, as I said, I do not say this to be mean-spirited, but if you understood the doctrine, you would understand that everything in that Church Age book is thus saith the Lord. Now, first of all, the Church Age book was not Brother Vail's book, and Brother Vail takes no credit with the contents of the book. Brother Branham actually wanted to write it years before he even spoke it. In fact, in 1954, when he spoke on the Seven Church Ages, he called it the Seven Church Ages, it was a single sermon. Brother Branham had already done most of his research and study at the time. He wanted to write the book, but he felt inadequate to do the job. But he spoke it to the people so that they could access it sooner. Brother Vail simply did what Brother Branham commissioned him to do, and that was to grammarize the book. Therefore, to grammarize the book wording and sentence structure will be changed some. The grammarized version is not word for word what was spoken, neither is a translation from language to language a word for word as the person spoke it in the original language. However, if Brother Branham commissioned Brother Vail to do so and prayed to God for the success of the book, I doubt very much that Brother Vail inserted his own thinking into the book. In fact, he admits he did not. Therefore, to grammarize the book, word and sentence structure will be changed some, but will not undo the doctrine itself, but can actually enhance it to make it more clear. That is Brother Branham's book. He spoke it. Brother Vail wrote what Brother Branham spoke. Then Brother Branham edited everything written in that book and thoroughly reviewed it several times as well. So if you want to take umbrage with it, you will have to do so with Brother Branham on the other side. Secondly, the Church Age book was written a section at a time. And Brother Branham went through each section with Brother Sothman and some others who were present as witnesses to his editing of the book. As Brother Branham read each paragraph, he marked up any word that he felt should be altered to better fit his understanding. He inserted words like any editor would do, and he deleted those things which he did not feel were exactly the way he wanted it to read. He had full and complete control over every word in that book. Word by word, he read it quite a few times and edited what he wanted in and out of the text. Then he would comment to Brother Vail to add this or to take add this or that to a particular section where he wanted it to fit. Here's a quote from Brother Branham's sermon in 1965, talking how he and Brother Vail worked on the Church Age book together. From Doors in Door, preached February 6th of 1965, paragraph 14. Brother Branham said, "Now, does anyone in here know Dr. Lee Vail?" I don't think, well, maybe not. He was a Baptist preacher, Doctor of Divinity, and he's got his degree. He was a high school teacher to begin with, and he's a very fine scholarly man. Now, I added here that I would like to just insert here that Lee Vail did not have a Doctor of Divinity from any Bible school. He had been a school teacher, and back in those days, all that took to be a school teacher was a few weeks of post-high school and a test. And if you passed the test, you could teach. He received his title of Doctor of Divinity from Brother Branham himself. And if I'm going to receive a Doctor of Divinity from anyone, I'd want it to be from the vindicated prophet for the age that I lived. Now, Brother Branham continues, "And my tapes on the seven church ages, I sent them to him to grammarize them. Because my old Kentucky hit, haint, and tote, and carry, and fetch, that don't go good for people who read the books. So he was going to grammarize it for me. And then after he got through, he sent it back a couple times for more statements, which the book is going to press now after 3 or 4 years. And he asked me, he said, 'Can I write a book just on my comments?' And I said, 'Well, it's all right, Brother Lee.' And I thought, and then he said, 'And I'm going to tell you something,' said, 'It's not to be sold, it's to be given away.' And I said, 'Well, then I'm sure that that's all right, see?" Now, Brother Dalton Bruce, notice that Brother Branham said that he sent Brother Vail his tapes to grammarize. Notice also that after he grammarized each section, he would send it to Brother Branham, and it went back and forth a couple times, where Brother Branham would make edits and comments to be inserted in the text. Again, Brother Branham said in August of 1964, from Questions and Answers, Conduct, Order, and Doctrine, August 23rd, 1964, paragraph 139, "My brother Jackson returns now, way back down in South Africa. Go with him and his wife, be with them, Lord, and guide them on their journey. And here's Brother Lee Vail writing. He's putting every word that I say down, trying to make the book. Oh God, help Brother Vail and Sister Vail." Now, for those who say that he inserted his own words, is to contradict what the prophet of God himself said when he said, "Brother Vail is putting every word that I say down." So who are we to believe, men who fuss with the doctrine in the book that was totally controlled by the prophet of God or the prophet of God himself? Again, you notice he also mentioned Brother Sidney Jackson was getting ready to return home from Africa. And Brother Branham had told Sidney Jackson at this time that everything in the book was "Thus saith the Lord." Sidney Jackson's own testimony in the late 60s was the same thing, in the early 70s, before he died. He said, everything in that book is thus saith the Lord, according to Brother Branham. Now, for those who say that he inserted his own words, as I said, it is contradicting what the prophet of God said when he said that Brother Vail is putting every word that I say down. And again, we see in his sermon proving his word, August 16th of 1964, paragraph 23, Brother Branham calling out for Brother Vail in this service to communicate to him to add some other things to the book before printing. He says, is Dr. Lee Vail in this morning? I wanted to ask if Dr. Lee Vail, are you here, Brother Vail? Raise your hand if you're here. Oh, he's there in the back. All right. Thank you, Brother Roy. And I want you to be sure to check those notes, Brother Vail. You're somewhere in the crowd back there. I can't see you in the hall or in the hall. But we have to watch. We can't let too many stand. The fire marshal won't let us do that, you see, and so we are. And I want you to check my revelation on the serpent seed to be injected into the first Ephesian church age that he's rewriting, that he's re-grammarizing it for me. Beautifully done. And I want you to check that and let somebody say something against the serpent seed now, whether it was right or not. So the Lord's got just give it to me yesterday, and it's beyond how I got the message. And I'll be going along, and it strikes me then, and if I know it's God, I'll take it over and find it in the Scripture. Then I have, and it's never failed. But from Genesis to Revelation, it runs true, no matter what the people thinks about it. And it's been more so than ever since those seven seals, see? That did at that time. So the Lord bless you now as we study, now in respect to the Word. So you notice Brother Branham himself is inserting and telling Brother Vail, I've sent you some notes. I want you to insert those notes into the Ephesian church age. So when people say, well, the Ephesian church age has things in it that Brother Branham didn't preach in 1960, of course, Brother Branham added things in the printing of the book, in the writing of the book. You see, there was an active dialogue going on back and forth. Notice the date of the sermon, 1964, right before the publication of the book. And notice that Brother Branham is asking Brother Vail to add some notes that he had given to Brother Vail about the serpent seed and placing them into the Ephesian church age where the serpent seed is talked about. This should show that there were still items being given to Brother Vail for publishing way after the original series was preached in 1960. Now, there are other examples on tape, but you can look them up for yourself. Now, I have given you three quotes here from Brother Branham saying that Brother Vail wrote only what he, Brother Branham, had said. To me and anyone who is looking at these quotes with a fair and balanced mind, it shows that Brother Branham was on top of everything being written in the church age book. Now, Pastor Bruce states, I firmly declare that the revelation of the seven church age given to Malachi 4, 5, and 6 is thus saith the Lord. But that does not include all the errors that were injected into the grammarized version of the seven church age book. End of quote. So I responded, I hope by now, Brother Dalton Bruce, that you can see by the quotes themselves and the testimonies of other people who have written such things as Sister Rebecca Branham Smith, daughter of Brother Branham, in her handwritten article called Whose Book Is This? Concerning the Church Age book, as well as the video testimony of Reverend Willard Collins, pastor of the Branham Tabernacle, Jeffersonville, Indiana, as well as spoken testimony of Sidney Jackson, as well as my conversation with Brother Collins in 1979, that Brother Branham spoke what was in that book on tape and in person to Brother Vail via personal audio tapes and written communications. Brother Vail was commissioned by Brother Branham to write down his words and grammarize them for a better reading. And then Brother Branham had the final edit of the book itself, and he took total responsibility for everything in the church age book. If you cannot see that by now, we need to end our discourse, for you are not listening or reading this discourse with an open mind, but with a mind already poisoned by your own or someone else's opinions. However, for the sake of others who may have a sincere desire to know, I shall endeavor to finish our discourse on the next on the next first of the three items that you have brought to my attention to show how far off base your thinking was based on your false assumption that Brother Branham was not the author of his own book. proving that William Branham was the author of his own book, Church Age book, nullifies all your questions from here out, unless you are so base as to openly challenge this vindicated prophet of God. Furthermore, knowing that your mind did not see the doctrine correctly, that you are challenging in Brother Branham's Church Age book, it is now up to you to repent of your error and teach it in the way that it is written in the book and Bible, as I have shown you. Now, Pastor Dalton states, at this present time, I will address three major unscriptural doctrines which were injected into the Church Age book by Dr. Vail based on the subjects of 1. Marriage and divorce, 2. The church, the new birth and the baptism of the Holy Ghost are one and the same, and 3. 7 thunders to be revealed by Malachi 4, 5, and 6. Error number one, he says, Marriage and Divorce, Church Age Book, page 104. Quotes Dr. Lee Vail from Church Age Book. Well, see, he's got it wrong there because it's not Dr. Lee Vail. It's Brother Branham. Anyway, people ask me, if Eve fell that way, what did Adam do? For God lays the blame on Adam. Now, the Word teaches us that if a woman leaves her husband and goes with another man, she is an adulteress and is no longer married, and the husband is not to take her back. That word was true in Eden, as it was true when Moses wrote it in the law, and the word can't change. Adam took her back. He knew exactly what he was doing, but he did it anyway. Ephesians Church Age Book, Chapter 3. Brother Vail is dealing with a very scriptural question. That is, if Eve committed adultery in the Garden of Eden, and that was the forbidden fruit then what was the sin of Adam? His indication is that Adam also committed adultery with his own wife. End of Pastor Bruce's statement. My response to that was, first of all, Brother Dalton, I must say your language is quite stinging and very strong and accusatorial for one who says that he wishes to communicate with Christian love and respect. You might want to study up on what love and respect are before you commit to doing this discourse with love and respect. One who loves and respects uses words that intone a desire to come together for a better meeting of the minds, that you might understand certain things that may not be clear to you at this present time. Love covers a multitude of sin and never accuses. In 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 4, the King James Version says, love suffereth long and is kind. Love envieth not. Love vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. Doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, and endureth all things. Now, the NIV puts it this way. Love is patient, and love is kind. It does not envy, it does not boast, and it is not proud. It is not rude, and it is not self-seeking. And it is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices in the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Secondly, since love is not rude, and love is not self-seeking, and love keeps no record of wrongs, I would suggest in the future that you might avoid words that provoke, are rude, self-seeking, and not kind, such as your accusation that the Church Age book is in error, mislocated, dislocated, and etc. Now, to get down to business, Brother Dalton Bruce, you stated that Brother Vail indicated that Adam also committed adultery with his own wife. Now, to get that out of what was written in the Church Age book by Brother Branham himself shows that you are not reading it to learn, but you are trying to read, but you are finding fault. And to read that, you have to be assuming, and of course, your assumptions are wrong. You assume this says that the sin of Adam was committing adultery with his own wife, but that is not what it said at all. A man cannot commit adultery with his own wife. Sin is unbelief. Sin is the transgression of the law. Therefore, Adam willfully disobeyed God. He was told not to do a certain thing, and he did it anyway. Therefore, his sin was not adultery, but his sin was disobedience to God. From Romans 5:19, Paul said, for as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the disobedience, one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. So Paul himself tells us Adam's sin was his disobedience to God. 1 John chapter 3, verse 4 says, whosoever committeth sin transgresses also the law. For sin is the transgression of the law. Hebrews 2 and verse 2. For if the word spoken of angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward. So we see that the transgression is disobedience. And 1 Timothy 2 and 14, and Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. And Romans 5 and 14, nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him who was to come. And that word transgression in the Greek is the word parabasis, and it means violation, breaking, and transgression. So Adam's transgression was the breaking of God's command, and that's disobedience. Now in the following several quotes from Brother Branham, we see him say the same thing as Paul did here in the Scripture. From his message, Perfection, preached 1957, April 19th, paragraph 5, Brother Branham said, now in the Garden of Eden, God had Adam and Eve in the garden, and they sinned and transgressed the laws of God by sinning, disobedience. And when transgression comes, disobedience is the transgression of the law. And the law of God, him being holy, just, unadulterated holy, therefore no spot of unholiness can ever stand in his presence. So if sin came in the world by transgression, then sin must be dealt with before the sinner can ever stand in the presence of God. And from his message called Fellowship, which he preached February 12th of 1956, paragraph 55, Brother Branham said, and I see even Adam standing there, heard their sentence of death pronounced upon them, and the tears running down Adam's cheek and dropping off onto Eve's head, and her with her little head laying over on his shoulder, and they had to depart out of the presence of God, standing there wrapped in those old bloody sheepskins. And as they started out of the garden, in the presence of God, I can hear them old sheepskins flapping together on their legs like that as they went out. And God the Father looking down and seeing his children being turned out like that because of disobedience. He stopped and he couldn't stand it. He said, I'll enmity between her and the serpent's seed, and his head will bruise her heel, and her heel shall bruise his head, promising a deliverer. So Brother Branham's own words showing it was disobedience was the reason. Now, Pastor Bruce states, I am saying that the teaching and explanation that he gave on the subject cannot be supported by the word of God. The scripture that he indicated to support his case does not support it. He dislocated, misplaced, and misinterpreted the word of God, which the prophet commanded us not to do. Reference page 72, Christ revealed in his own word. I will address this error under three, section A, B, and C. A, if a woman leaves her husband and goes with another man, she is an adulteress and is no longer married. That's the quotation from the Church Age book. Okay. Now, my response to Brother Dalton here is, Brother Dalton, you are in error with Scripture when you say the following. And then his following is from Pastor Bruce, EODH answer. It is unscriptural and erroneous to say that a woman is no longer married to her husband if she commits adultery. Based upon Romans 7 and 2 and 1 Corinthians 7 and 3, 7:39, she is bound to her husband as long as her husband liveth, but not until she commits adultery. So we read Romans 7 and 2, which says, for the woman which hath an husband is bound by the law to her husband so long as he liveth, but if the husband be dead, she is loose from the law of her husband. I said here, I responded, I said, Brother Dalton, like so many who claim to believe Brother Branham and the Bible, you are choosing to only read a part of what Paul is saying here. You cannot take only the part that you choose, but you must take it all. If you will continue to read on in verse 3, my brother, you will see what Paul is saying. Because Paul says in verse 3, Romans chapter 7, verse 3, he says, this accounts for the fact that if during her husband's life she lives with another man, she will be stigmatized as an adulteress, but that if her husband is dead, she no longer is under the old prohibition, and even though she marries again, she is not an adulteress. All right, now that's from the Weymouth translation. Now, Brother Bruce states, 1 Corinthians 7:39, the wife is bound by the law as long as her husband liveth, but if her husband be dead, she is at liberty to be married to whom she will only in the Lord. And my response to that was, Brother Dalton, again, I say if you had read Romans chapter 7, verse 3, it would also have answered your question about 1 Corinthians 7:39, as it does with Romans 7 and 2. The Amplified Version says, accordingly, she will be held an adulteress if she unites herself to another man while her husband lives. But if her husband dies, the marriage law no longer is binding on her. She is free from that law. And if she unites herself to another man, she is not an adulteress. All right, Pastor Bruce states that Dr. Vail or Brother Kisorek, I demand that you quote one scripture to support this erroneous false teaching. Also show one quotation of Brother Brown to support this error. Now, what he's saying is, and what he's calling the error, is in the Church Age book, where it said that if the woman leaves, commits adultery, that the man is no longer that she's no longer married to the man, and that was let me just find that again. Church Age book. All right. If a woman leaves her husband and goes with another man, she is an adulteress and is no longer married. And so he thinks that the woman, just because she commits adultery, this quotation out of the Church Age book says she's no longer married. Hey, look, if a woman goes out and commits adultery on her husband, she is no longer married to him, because the sexual contact is the marriage. It's not a piece of paper. The union of the two bodies together makes one flesh. That is what constitutes the marriage. And so if she leaves her husband for another man, she's marrying that man. She doesn't need a piece of paper. She's married him. Therefore, he can't take her back because she's been married to another. And that's what he's saying in the Church Age book, and we'll show you scripture for that. All right. So he demands that we quote one scripture to support this erroneous false teaching. Also show one quotation of Brother Brown to support this error. All right, my response was, first of all, Brother Dalton, your demanding does not show a spirit of love nor respect, as you have agreed to do. But since that is the way you word your statements, here is the explanation that you so desire. First of all, as for the statement that is made concerning the woman that leaves her husband, she separates herself from her husband, Brother Branham said that himself. From flashing red light of his coming, 6:23 of 1963, paragraph 77, Brother Branham said, look, now in Jude, the 7th chapter, again, Sodom and Gomorrah, oh my, what an awful thing. Unmarried to a woman, going after strange flesh, a man that's married to his wife, they're not no longer two, they're one. And the man that'll run out with after another woman, he automatically separates himself from his wife. And a woman that runs out with another man, she's dead to her husband. She denies her own flesh. She's cut away from him. That's right. In the day of judgment, we'll have to answer for it. So if she is cut away from him or separates herself from him, then she is no longer married to him. It does not take a writ of divorcement to do this. Her own actions are what caused it, and the writ of divorcement is just a piece of paper acknowledging what is already obvious. Also, you'll find in Romans 7 and verse 3 that Paul also says this as well. And I posted three different translations of the same verse to help your understanding of this matter. And since Paul preached it, we know that Brother Branham did as well. Because Brother Branham did not teach anything that Paul did not teach. Now, from the King James Version of Romans 7 and 3, we read, so then if while her husband liveth, she be married to another. And see, he's looking at this word married, and he thinks, oh, you mean she goes out and marries again? As if there's a civil ceremony that's performed. That's not what it's talking about. The word married there is a Greek word, ginomai. And so if she be ginomai to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, she is free from that law, so that she is no adulteress, though she be married to another man. Now, the Greek word that was translated as married to is the word ginomai, and does not mean married to in the sense of an actual ceremony. But it means united to, or to be found with, or to lie with, or to be fulfilled with, in reference to another man other than her own husband. Perhaps several other translations would help him to see it better. As I mentioned from the Amplified Version, accordingly, she will be held an adulteress if she unites herself to another man while her husband lives. But if her husband dies, the marriage law is no longer binding for her. She is free from that law. And if she unites herself to another man, she is not an adulteress. Romans 7 and 3, the Wycliffe translation. Therefore, she shall be called an adulteress if she be with another man while her husband liveth. Romans 7 and 3, the Weymouth translation. This accounts for the fact that if during her husband's life she lives with another man, she will be stigmatized as an adulteress. Now this takes us to your next question, and that is whether or not a husband is to take his wife back if she has left him for another man. Pastor Bruce, he states, the husband is not to take her back. EODH answer, it is unscriptural and erroneous to say that a man cannot take back his wife if she commits adultery. If that is so, that annuls the Lord's teaching on forgiveness to our offenders. My response to that is, my brother, how can you say not taking an adulterous wife back annuls the Lord's teaching on forgiveness? Pastor Bruce says, it will also prove that Brother Branham taught us falsely. He was right and you are wrong. Jesus told the adulterous woman, neither do I condemn thee, go and sin no more. Not that you are no longer married and your husband cannot take you back. Now Jesus said, you've lived with six men. The one you're living with now is not your husband. She was living with them. She wasn't married to them in the physical sense, or the writ sense of the word. She was a prostitute. She had lived with six men, and the one that she was now living with, and he said, go and sin no more. So don't do it. Don't go back to that man. And she didn't. She followed Jesus Christ the rest of his living days. She became a disciple. Now see, the problem is that we have people that don't read their Bibles. They get a bone to pick because they hear something and they want to jump on the bandwagon. Everybody wants to be a Jack the giant killer. Oh, if we can take down Brother Vale, you know. Well, I'm sorry, but you're going to have to face your accusations on the day of judgment. And the Bible says what's even worse is that for teaching others to sin, you're going to be held accountable for that. So he says, Pastor Bruce states, it will also prove that Brother Branham taught us falsely. He was right and you are wrong. Jesus told the adulterous woman, neither do I condemn thee, go and sin no more. John 8 and 11. Not that you are no longer married and your husband cannot take you back. Matthew 6, 14 to 15. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. And Matthew 12, 31, wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men, but the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven them. End of Pastor Bruce's statements. Now my response to that is, but show me where Jesus told her to go back to her husband, which she was now living with in adultery. He said, go and sin no more. When the people asked him about adultery, he said it wasn't so from the beginning. I mean, when they asked him about divorce, he said it wasn't so from the beginning. In the beginning, God made one man for one woman. Listen to what Brother Branham says from Who Do You Say This Is? Preached 1227 of 64, paragraph 5. He says, we can forgive one another, but we can't forget about it because we are made different. But God can forgive it and forget. He can just wipe it out as though it never was, see? Because he has access to that sea of forgetfulness and we don't. Now, Brother Dalton, would you allow a sex pervert who has asked your forgiveness for raping your daughter to come and stay in your home? Would you expose your wife and daughter to such a person who has had a past with that kind of sin in his life? The Bible said that repentance requires fruits meet for repentance. I do not think you fully understand forgiveness according to the message or scripture. Jesus told the woman, go and sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon her. Her adultery was caused by her unbelief. So now that she believes, is it okay for her to go back and live in sin? My goodness, Brother Dalton, what kind of a message are you preaching? Pastor Bruce's statement, my wife, I would forgive her. Pastor Bruce quotes Brother Branham, church from Well, it doesn't have the date. From questions and answers, 620527. I'm not true to my wife because I'm afraid she divorced me. I'm true to her because I love her. There's no other woman in the world but her. And if I done a mistake and they thought that I did something wrong and come to her and say, Mita, honey, I didn't mean to do that, she'd forgive me for it. I know she would, and I'd forgive her. I love her, but I'd forgive her, and she'd forgive me, but I wouldn't do it for nothing. I love her too much to do it. The prophet taught forgiveness and said that he would forgive his wife, and a man is at liberty to do so. Dr. Vail's teaching is legalistic, unscriptural, and contrary to the teaching of William Branham. Now, of course, we know that that was just a point the prophet of God was bringing. We did not have an adulterous prophet. He was sealed with the Holy Ghost, and the devil could not break that seal. End of statement of Pastor Bruce. My response to that was, Brother Dalton, since you do not understand forgiveness, perhaps we should take a sermon on that topic. Whether the man forgives his wife has nothing to do with whether he puts her away for the adultery or fornication which she committed. So let me help you with some quotes from Brother Branham explaining the difference between fornication and adultery and how man is supposed to deal with them. From Why We Are Not a Denomination, preached 58, 927, paragraph 52, he said, here the other day, I'll stop on my subject just a minute if it's possible. I was reading in a piece of scripture where that an illegitimate child could not enter the Lord, enter into the congregation of the Lord for 14 generations. Now, how many knows that? That's right, Deuteronomy 23, an illegitimate child. If a woman is caught in the field, that's away from the protection of man, and a man overcomes that woman, that man will have to marry her. And regardless if she becomes a prostitute, he has to live with her till he dies. And if this woman marries him, pretending that she is a virgin and she isn't, then she can be killed for it. And if a man and woman which are married, and they bring forth an illegitimate child, that the congregation of the Lord, he'll not enter to 14 generations. And 40 years is the generation. It'd be 400 years before that seed ever gets out of Israel. Questions and answers, conduct, order, and doctrine, 59:06:28, evening service, paragraph 107. Now we've got one more, and then that's all. Let's see, 91, Brother Bill, what is the difference between fornication and adultery? Matthew 19:9. Jesus said in Matthew 19:9, whosoever putteth away his wife and marries another, except it be for the cause of fornication, commits adultery. The difference between fornication and adultery, the word could be applied either way, but to make it clear that he was talking there, a woman that's unmarried cannot commit adultery because she has no husband to commit adultery against. It's uncleanness for her. She has to confess that to her husband before they are married if she's did that. If not, and her husband finds it out later, he has a right to put her away because she took a false vow. For the Bible said, be it well, or ritual, be it well known to you, I have it in mind, if any couple are joined otherwise than God's word does allow, their marriage is not lawful. I will require and will charge you both as surely as you'll surely answer in the day of judgment when the secrets of the hearts shall be disclosed. If either of you know of any impediment why you should not be lawfully joined together, do you now confess it? There you are, see? So fornication is what a girl, when she lives unclean, that's fornication because she has no husband. But when she's married, and then when she lives like that, she commits adultery against her husband. And from invisible union of the bride, he says, now she has a sacred... I want to name three things here that she must not get away from. Now, I'm speaking, keep the church in mind while I'm speaking this to the natural woman. As Paul says here in the 7th chapter of Romans, she has a sacred trust of virtue committed to her by the Lord, a certain virtue. Nothing else holds it but a woman, that's right, that's committed to her by God. She must not defile that virtue. If she even does something wrong, she must confess that to her husband before he takes her and make it right. Just the same as the church that was married to the law has to come also before Christ before the second marriage. She has to confess that. If she doesn't and she lives with her husband for 10 years and then confesses it, he has a right to put her away and marry another woman. That's the scripture. Fornication is unclean living. Joseph feared not to take Mary to be thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. He was minded to put her away privately, see? After he'd already engaged to her, When you are engaged to her, as far as God is concerned, you're married to her. All right? And from questions and answers, COD, paragraph 59, June 28th evening, paragraph 108. A woman come not long ago and she said, oh, I've confessed all of that. She was nervous and had a breakdown and said, I confessed all of that to God. I said, you have to confess it to your husband. It wasn't God that you committed adultery against. It was your husband. That's right. And if a man marries a woman and she has lived unclean before she marries him, and then she comes to him, if they've been married ever so long, and then she come to him and say, honey, I want to tell you something. I did run out with another man. I never told you. Jesus said he has a right to put her away and marry another because they're not married in the beginning. Because she falsely told a lie against him. Now the following quote is the one that people use to show that a man can remarry. But if you read it carefully, it doesn't say for adultery. It says for fornication. For Marriage and Divorce, chapter 1965. February 21st, paragraph 77. See, she's got a living husband, so no man can marry her. I don't care what she does and who she is, she's got a living husband. There's no grounds for her at all. But it's not for him. Causes her, not him. Get it? You have to make the word run in continuity. See, nothing's saying he couldn't, but she can't. See? Causes her, not him. Just exactly what the Bible says. Causes her. It is not stated against him to remarry, but her. Why? Christ is the type. Notice, it is stated that he cannot remarry. It is stated that he cannot remarry only a virgin. He can remarry. He can marry. He can remarry again if it's a virgin, but he can't marry somebody else's wife. No, indeed. And if he does marry a divorced woman, he is living in adultery. I don't care who he is. The Bible said, whosoever marries her that is put away liveth in adultery. There you are, not divorced, see? That original back yonder from the beginning now, remarrying. Now notice he can, but she can't, like David, like Solomon, like the continuity of the whole Bible. But if you'll notice, as you read the paragraph before, he says it is only for the cause of fornication. Which I gave you quotes where that is before marriage, that she doesn't act without confessing it to him before he marries her. Now, Brother Branham continues. Note, let's read this here. I want you to get this. Matthew 5, Jesus spoke here of something that's really of vital importance. We want to see it. Matthew 5, I marked out some of the things that I was going to say just to the men. So I had quite a little time saying it just before our sisters. But I want to go out here now, sister, I want to put you into the place where God's word promised you. And you see, you stay in that place too. Matthew 5:32. I want you to notice here to support this idea of one and many. Matthew 30, I think it's Matthew 5:32-31 to begin with. Anyway, it has been said, whosoever shall put away his wife, let him give her a writing of divorcement. Now, Jesus speaking, the one said from the beginning, now watch, but I say unto you that whosoever shall put away his wife, saving for the cause of fornication, causes her to commit adultery. See? Whosoever shall put away his wife, saving the cause of fornication, causes her to commit adultery. Why? Because she'll marry again. And whosoever marries her that is divorced commits adultery. So who's worse, the one that causes the person to commit adultery or the person who commits the adultery? Now, Pastor Bruce states, if your husband continues to want to live with you, that's up to him. And then he quotes Brother Branham from Questions and Answers. He said, you committed adultery against your husband. You went to your husband and cleared yourself to your husband. Then you went to the man and the husband and cleared yourself there. You are clear. If your husband continues to want to live with you, that's up to him. He don't have to do it now. But if he wants to live with you and forgive you, then you be lady enough to never be guilty of such a thing again. The messenger is saying that if a man finds his wife in fault, he could forgive her and continue to let her be his wife. But he is not compelled to take her back. That is up to him. That is his business. He could forgive the woman. He could continue to live with her as a wife. Brother Branham said that she should be a lady enough never to do that again. I don't have a problem with that either. I don't have a problem with that. But what he's doing is he's saying that because there's one quote here where Brother Brown says, well, if the man wants to, he can. But that, then he's saying that nullifies this over here. It doesn't nullify that. The man has a right to put away his wife, and she's not his wife any longer. She's gone out and committed adultery. Now, Pastor Kosorik, or my response says, Brother Dalton, Bruce, I do not have a problem reconciling this quote with the other from the Church Age book. And when I counsel ministers around the world on this, I never tell them what to do. But I do tell them to pray about it, because a man has a perfect right to put away his wife if he so chooses, like Adam did. But he may stay with her as well as Adam did. But whatever happens down the road is his problem then. And then from Numbers chapter 30, verse 1, we read it the other day. And Moses spake unto the heads of the tribes concerning the children of Israel, saying, this is the thing which the Lord hath commanded. If a man vow a vow unto the Lord, or swear an oath to bind his soul with a bond, he shall not break his word. He shall do according to all that proceedeth out of his mouth. If a woman also vow a vow unto the Lord, and bind herself by a bond, being in her father's house, or in her youth, and her father hears her vow, and her bond wherewith she hath bound her soul, and her father shall hold his peace at her, then all her vow shall stand. And every bond wherewith she hath bound her soul shall stand. But if her father disallowed her in that day that he heareth, not any of her vows or of her bonds wherewith she hath bound her soul shall stand. And the Lord shall forgive her because her father disallowed it. And if she had at all an husband, when she vowed or uttered aught out of her lips wherewith she bound her soul, and her husband heard it and held his peace at her in the day that he heard it, then her vows shall stand. And her bonds wherewith she bound her soul shall stand. But if her husband disallowed her on the day that he heard it, then he shall make her vow which she vowed, and that which she uttered with her lips, wherewith she bound her soul, of none effect. And the Lord shall forgive her. But every vow of a widow and her that is divorced, wherewith they have bound their souls, shall stand against her. And if she vowed in her husband's house, or bound her soul by an oath with a bond with an oath, and her husband heard it and held his peace at her and disallowed her not, then all her vows shall stand, and every bond wherewith she bound her soul shall stand. But if her husband hath utterly made them void on the day that he heard them, then whatsoever proceedeth out of her lips concerning her vows or concerning the bond of her soul shall not stand. Her husband hath made them void, and the Lord shall forgive her. Every vow and every binding oath to afflict the soul, her husband may establish it, or her husband may make it void. But if her husband altogether hold his peace at her from the day from day to day, then he established all her vows and all her bonds which are upon her. He confirmeth them because he held his peace at her in the day that he heard them. But if he shall in any ways make them void after that he had heard them, then he shall bear her iniquity. These are the statutes which the Lord commanded Moses between a man and his wife, between the father and his daughter, being yet in her youth in her father's house. Now, from Pastor Dalton, he said, there is no scripture in the Bible, and William Branham never taught such erroneous doctrine, that if a woman commits adultery, that a man must put her away in divorcement. Well, you know, the statement didn't say he must put her away. You see, he's reading the word must into there. It doesn't even say he should put him away. What the scripture says, or what the Church Age book says, again, let me just read it, if I can find it here. Okay, it says, now the word teaches us that if a woman leaves her husband and goes with another man, she is an adulteress and is no longer married, and the husband is not to take her back. Now, it doesn't say he must not take her back. It doesn't say that he cannot take her back. It just says the man shall not, it doesn't even say the word shall. It says, let me just read that again. Let's see here. with another man, she is an adulteress and is no longer married, and the husband is not to take her back. Now, you can read that any way you want to, but the way I read it is that if she goes out and commits adultery and she marries to another man by the union, you know, he shouldn't take her back. It doesn't say he can't, but he shouldn't. You know, in these days, you have to check, you know, if you want to take him back, you better check him out for disease. All right, so he says, it is unscriptural and erroneous to say that Adam's sin was to take back his wife after she committed adultery, especially based upon Deuteronomy 24:1-4. Well, the Church Age book doesn't say that his sin was taking her back. Church Age book says his sin was disobedience, the same as Paul said. Based upon this error, do you, Brother Vail or Brother Kosorik, teach your followers to divorce their wives on that ground? If not, you don't believe your own philosophy. If yes, you are doing such contrary to the message. Are all ministers under obligation to preach that doctrine? Do you teach them so at your great gatherings of ministers? The Church Age book has already circled the globe and established this error since its publication in 1965. If you do not believe that erroneous doctrine, practice it and preach it, then correct it with humble repentance. Dr. Vail, how many family lives were destroyed by that error? I should ask him. How many family lives do you know of that were destroyed by this? Only eternity will unfold. This is not a small matter, but a destructive heresy. Who accounts to God for the woman's tears of repentance rejected by her husband? Also the tears, pain, sorrows, and lifelong damage of little children. Yes, who suffers when the woman goes out and commits adultery? Her husband suffers. Her children suffer. As is the case with a good friend of mine. His wife went out and committed adultery. That tried to destroy his ministry. Destroyed his children. Destroyed the people under that ministry. He says, Dr. Vail's erroneous answer does not fit Deuteronomy 24:1-4. Adam did not put away his wife for uncleanness. In this case, in the Garden of Eden, Eve went out and had only one act with the serpent. Oh, so what's the difference if she has one or 20? Well, you know, they only had one little spiff, you know, so that's okay. Eve did not go out and become married to another man. Yes, she did. She united herself, and the woman that unites herself becomes one flesh. Doesn't the Bible tell us about that? He that unites himself to a harlot is married to the harlot. Isn't that what the scripture says? Eve did not go out and become married to another man. The serpent was not even a man. The serpent did not put away Eve in divorcement. Oh, so it's okay to go out and fornicate with cows and horses. You see what kind of a sick mind these people have, trying to justify their unbelief. The serpent did not put away Eve in divorcement. Adam did not take back his wife in marriage because she remained his wife after the act. It was a case of Eve being deceived. It was a case of Eve having one act with the serpent and then a second act with Adam. It was not a case of Eve being married to another man. It was not a case of Eve getting a bill of divorcement. It was not a case of the second husband putting her away and she then returning to her first husband. If this teaching is right, then every man who follows this message, whose wife commits adultery, must put away beyond the reconciliation. If not, he repeats the same sin which caused Adam to fall. I'm saying that doctrine is wrong. Well, of course that doctrine is wrong. But that's not what taught in the Church Age book. It's his doctrine. It's his understanding from the Church Age book. Now, the scripture means exactly what it says. In Deuteronomy 24, you can apply it to Eve. The messenger said differently and opposite to Dr. Vail in the Church Age book. A question was asked the prophet concerning how to straighten an adulterous matter, and he answered it as follows. Questions and Answers, 64:08-23. Now, this person, if she's the one that's guilty, she has did it. She went to her husband. Now you've cleared yourself, sister. You've committed adultery against your husband. You went to your husband and cleared yourself to your husband. Then you went to the man and the husband and cleared yourself there. You are clear. If your husband wants to live with you, that's up to him. He don't have to do it now. But if he wants to live with you and forgives you, then you be lady enough to never be guilty of such thing again. But if he doesn't forgive you, then that's his own business. He can put you away. And then he quotes from Deuteronomy 24:1-4, when a man has taken a wife and married her, and it come to pass that she find no favor in his eyes, because he hath found some uncleanness in her, then let him write her a bill of divorcement and give it in her hand, and send her out of his house. And when she is departed out of his house, she may go and be another man's wife. And if the latter husband hate her, and write her a bill of divorcement, and giveth in her hand, and sendeth her out of his house, or if the latter husband die, which took her to be his wife, her former husband, which sent her away, may not take her again to be his wife, after that she is defiled, for that is abomination before the Lord, and thou shalt not cause the land to sin, which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance. Now, my brother, first of all, we must ask ourselves, what is this uncleanness that bothers this man so much that he puts his wife away? Well, some people think it's because she doesn't do the dishes. That's not what he's talking about. Secondly, the scripture speaks of a bill of divorcement that Jesus said was given to the people because of the hardness of their heart. But Jesus said it wasn't so from the beginning. In the beginning, there was one man and one woman that God says, one man shall have one woman. So to try to justify your doctrine on something God gave the people out of the hardness of their heart is grasping for straws. As Brother Branham said himself, that is thinner than the broth made out of a shadow of a chicken that starved to death. This scripture speaks of a man who marries a woman and then finds out after they've been married that she's not a virgin. He has a right to put her away, and it says that she is then free to remarry. Why? Because they weren't married to begin with. Matthew 19, verse 7, they said unto him, let me read from the Invisible Union of the Bride. Brother Branham said, now I'm speaking and keep the church in mind while I'm speaking this to the natural woman, as Paul said here in the 7th chapter of Romans. She has a right. She has a trust of virtue committed to her by the Lord, a certain virtue. Nothing else holds it but the woman. That's right. That's committed to her by God. She must not defile that virtue. If she even does something wrong, she must confess it to her husband before he takes her and make it right. Just the same as the church that was married to the law has to come also before Christ before the second marriage, she has to confess that. If she doesn't, and she lives with her husband for 10 years and then confesses it, he has a right to put her away and marry another. That's the scripture. Fornication is unclean living. Now, Matthew 19 and 7 says, they said unto him, why did Moses then command thee to give a writing of divorcement and put her away? He saith unto them, Moses, because of the hardness of your heart, suffered you to put away your wives, but from the beginning it was not so. And I say unto you, whoever shall put away his wife, except it be for the cause of fornication, and shall marry another, committeth adultery, and whosoever marrieth her that is put away doth commit adultery. His disciples said unto him, if the case of a man be so with his wife, it is not good to marry. And he said unto them, all men cannot receive this saying, save they to whom it is given. And Matthew 5:31, it hath been said, whosoever shall put away his wife, let him give her a writing of divorcement. But I say unto you, that whosoever shall put away his wife, saving for the cause of fornication, causeth her to commit adultery, and whosoever shall marry her that is divorced, committeth adultery. From supernatural. Brother Ramsford, the Pharisee said to Jesus, why did Moses suffer a writing of divorcement? Said, he did it because of the hardness of your heart. Right. But it wasn't so from the beginning, and it never will be. God did it because of the hardness of their heart. Marriage and divorce, Brother Branham said. Jesus in our text invites us to go back to the beginning for the true scriptural answer. Now, when he was confronted with this, there was two things in view. The priest said to him, can a man put away his wife and marry another for any cause? And Jesus said, it wasn't so from the beginning. Then they said, Moses suffered us a writing of divorcement and put her away for anything they wanted to. He said that Moses did that because, I'm letting that sting a while, because of the hardness of your heart. But from the beginning, it wasn't so. The Bible is specifically making reference to a woman that was divorced and became the wife of another man by marriage. The second man that she married had to put her away and also give her a bill of divorcement. And under those conditions, she could not return to her first husband. If the first husband had taken her back, it was an abomination in the sight of God. Now, Dr. Vail misinterpreted Deuteronomy 24:1-4. It is in opposition to the message and the prophet. This is how the prophet applied the law. Now, let me just say this. This man doesn't understand. Because, number one, he's reading it that the woman, her husband, put her away. And so it was all right for her to go and get married to somebody else. Why was it all right for her to go and get married? Huh? Because he thought she didn't do the dishes right? No, if he was married to her, but he found out that she was not true to her vow, they're not married to begin with. That's why she can go and get married to somebody else. But then if that second person said, hey, I don't like this woman, and she decides she wants to go back to the first one, he can't take her back. Has nothing to do with a marriage certificate. It has all to do with an act of union. Now, he has this thing. He says, divorced, remarried woman, don't go back to her. From questions and answers, Brother Branham said, he said, Conduct Order and Doctrine 61:10-15, he said, Brother Branham, I was married to a woman that had been married before. We divorced, and she has been married twice since. The Bible says that if we desire to marry, to turn to the first wife. Now, could I turn to her who has been married before, or could I be free? Well, now, my brother, here's the only way that you could do it. Jesus said in Matthew 5, whoever marries her that is put away liveth in adultery. So don't do that. No, you cannot go back to your first wife if she's been married again. No, sir. Get over into the Levitical laws. You go back to that woman. She's somebody else's property. You've defiled and made yourself worse off than ever. No, you should not take a wife back who's been married to somebody else. You don't go back again. No, sir. She married to somebody else. Stay away from her. Don't you go back and take that woman when she's been married two or three times since she married you. That's wrong. And he says, the brother says, I'm anxious to see how Dr. Bell and would defend yourselves. You and Dr. Bell would defend yourselves against the exposition of this gross error that was injected into the church age book. Perhaps you may choose to ask me in defense, what is the sin that Adam committed? That would not justify your erroneous teaching. It may help you to dodge the issue. I would prefer to hold my peace on that question until the right time, because the ignorance of Dr. Vail on that question, he perverted Deuteronomy 24:1-7 and formulated several heresies upon the subject of marriage and divorce. And so my response was, Brother Dalton, since you wish to use the law to justify your position, then take the law as it was written. Leviticus 20:10 says, and the man that committeth adultery with another man's wife, even he that committeth adultery with his neighbor's wife, the adulterer and the adulteress shall be surely put to death. So if the adulterer and the adulteress are to be stoned, then how is it possible for her to come back to him? Your scriptures just do not line up. And the scripture cannot fight scripture, my brother. But because you misunderstand the application of them, you think them to be contrary. But God is not the author of confusion. That is why he said in Isaiah 55:8, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. End of my response. Now, Pastor Bruce states, it is very hard for internationally famous men to humble themselves when corrected by a little nobody. Your attitude to this exposition will reveal your respect to the word and message of Brother Branham. It will also prove your sincerity to your published policy in answering questions. And my response to that was, yes, Pastor Bruce, it is true that humility is the first basis of any true calling. And that is why after having shown you the error in your judgment concerning who the author and editor of the Church Age book is, I am asking that you come down from your lofty perch and humble yourself and admit the errors that you have broadcast throughout the world via your books and website concerning this matter. I have enjoyed many of your writings, but the errors I saw on your website and the personal attack on Reverend Vail, because your man did not thoroughly explain himself when calling, and you forget Brother Vail is a man that is 94 years old, and in showing no respect for this man of God, I contacted you, and this forum has begun. Brother Branham condemned men who would attack others who are trying to serve God, and for their own personal interest, they would try to smear the good name of God's servants. My brother, it is one thing to preach against sin, but when you cross the line by trying to destroy individuals, you are going to find yourself fighting against God. Brother Branham said in a sermon, we would see Jesus. He said, a few days ago, I read an article from McCall's magazine and how it was criticizing some of the men on the field praying for the sick. And I was in a city where this editor lived. And I said, these men might deserve some of that criticism, especially on the money and so forth. They might deserve it. I'm ashamed to say it, but they probably do. I'm not the boss, but I said, I'd like to ask this to the editor. If these men in their mistake are trying to get something done for God, what's he doing for the kingdom of God? And then when I noticed this article that he said A.A. Allen wrote that book on the biting devil and so forth, and A.A. Allen never wrote that book. Brother Allen never did. And if he never checked his article, no better than that, I wonder if half of it's authentic. That's right. If it wasn't checked, no better, no closer than that. And my question to Brother Dalton is, if you haven't even checked who wrote the Church Age book, then your bullet went off right from the gun. And by the time it strikes the target, brother, it's a mile off target. From the supernatural, Brother Bram said, a certain man wrote an article about me not long ago, which is perfectly all right. I love him. I don't say that to be a hypocrite. I say it because it's the truth. John Church, you Nazarene people's man, he said he wrote against divine healing. He said one of their key men, Mr. Branham, said, I've never met the man in my life, and to think of a sensible man writing an article about a person he has never spoke to in his life. That shows there's something wrong. Our law says, how can we judge a man without we hear him first? He said, I don't know the man, never heard, never seen him in my life. And my question to you, Brother Bruce, is how much effort did you make to go up and see Brother Vale and talk to him? You sent one of your fellows to call him. And you don't understand that Brother Vale went through three, 4 years ago when your man called him. He had just lost his wife. He didn't feel like talking to anybody. And I don't know what your question was and what the person asked. But if you say Brother Vale was being vague, maybe perhaps he wasn't in the right mind to even talk to you. And for you to try to make up the things that you do and spread lies like you're doing, you're going to have to answer for it. My policy has always been, if I heard somebody does something, I try to go to the horse's mouth to find out. And when I heard that in 1981, or 82, I don't remember the exact year now, 82 I think it was, I heard that Brother Branham had said that no man understood the message like Lee Vale, I went to Sister Branham, the closest person to him. And I said, Sister Branham, did you ever hear Brother Branham say those words? And she said, brother, since the car accident, she said, my memory hasn't been so good. But she said, it sounds an awful lot like something that Bill would have said, because he had an awful lot of respect for Brother Vale. So my challenge to you, Brother Dalton, is to be humble enough to retract your negative statements and your defaming of this man of God. Let's all bow our heads in prayer. Dear gracious Father, we thank you for your word tonight. We believe, Father, you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. We know without any doubt that William Branham not only spoke what was on the Church Age book in audio letters to Brother Vale and in written format to Brother Vale, because there's copies of them still. But, Father, we know the corrections that were made and went back and forth, and there's many witnesses to this. And so for someone on the outside to think that they know what went on because they heard third hand lies about the Church Age book, Father, we just pray for that brother. And we ask all those who have come to sin and unbelief because of that brother's transgression for not checking out his story, we pray you'd forgive him, Father. And we pray that this tape would get into the hands of those people, that they might know and understand that they were defrauded of the joys and the blessings and the security that that book has given us. And Father, we just commit, Lord, this sermon tonight. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.